Is it possible, even theoretically possible, to be justified by our works? Well, that big question is what we're going to be tackling in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're taking questions once again from listeners just like you. You can send your questions in to faithalone.org or to our email, which is radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show, where we're taking your questions about the Bible and theology, and if you want to ask the hard questions, we're the people to ask. I don't know if you'll get any answers, but you can ask.
Yes.
radio@faithalone.org. For example, here's a question from Dale, and Dale is writing about a blog that you did, 9 Reliable Evidences of Justification by Faith Apart from Works.
I remember that, yeah.
And so he has a specific question about Romans 3:28, which I guess you raise in that article. Here's his question. Romans 3:28 does not affirm or prove in any way that works are not involved in justification. It only says that works of the law may not be involved. Since Paul already clearly affirmed that works of the law could justify in Romans 2:13, his point in Romans 3:28 is that one can be justified before God without works of the law, but generally speaking, not apart from works completely. Are there any other passages that you would use to prove that no works at all are involved in justification? I find the question a little bit confusing, because what does Romans 3:28 say exactly? It says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, Dale is saying that all it says is that a man may be justified that way, but that's not what it says.
No. Where Dale is coming from is fairly popular in some circles. You remember he referred to 2:13? Why don't you read that one?
Yeah, so Romans 2:13 says, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified.
Okay, now the way that is understood by many evangelicals is that that is hypothetically possible.
If you keep the law, then you'll be justified
right. That
way.
In reality, it never happens. Nobody is justified by works of the law, because that's what Paul says in Romans 3, not just 28, but the whole section from 3:21 to 31 is all about the fact that it's by faith apart from works.
Right. He says there's none righteous, none who understands, none who seeks after God. He paints a pretty bleak picture if anyone happens to think that they have kept the law.
Right. And there's also in 2:5 through 8, there's another discussion where most people take the hypothetical view. And they would say, well, yes, you could obtain everlasting life by works if you could, by patience in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But nobody does that.
Okay.
The problem with people who say, look, Romans 2:6-8 or 5-8 and Romans 2:13 clearly establishes that it's possible and that that's one way of justification or regeneration. Then they interpret Romans 3:21-31 in light of it are going backwards, because the clearer section is Romans 3:21-31.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that it's by faith apart from works. Look at 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. So it starts out with apart from the law.
Yeah.
You see the same thing going all the way through this section. There's no room for boasting because it's by faith, it's not by works.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory
right.
of God. That's pretty absolute there.
Right.
So
now,
basically what you're saying is it's wrong to think that Romans 2:13 provides a realistic way of salvation for people.
Right. In other words, nobody's going to do that.
But Dale, the questioner, seems to think that some people are going to get saved that way.
Well, that is a position among lordship salvation or work salvation people.
I mean, anyone who believes in work salvation has to think if your works are involved in salvation, you have to meet some type of minimum standard to get saved, and that at least some people are going to be saved
or to stay saved or to get what they call final eternal salvation.
Right, right, right.
And now they may say all these works are by the grace of God, and
right.
the Spirit of God does them. We don't do them. The Spirit of God does them.
Right.
But the truth is, they're going to say, wait a minute, if you don't have enough good works, if you don't meet, how did you call it, a certain standard?
Right.
Then you're not going to make it. Now, the question that Dale asked was, are there any other verses that say it's not by works? Well, how about Galatians 2:16?
Yeah, that one's about as clear as it could possibly get.
I think it is.
Where there's really no hypothetical other way of being saved there because of our sin situation and how God is so totally against being justified by works of the law.
Maybe start in 15.
So, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So that's pretty absolute. By the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So you've got to read Romans 2:13 as a hypothetical.
Right. And three times in Galatians 2:16, he says it's not by works of the law. Now, of course, some people counter and say, oh, yes, but what Paul's talking about in other passages is not works of the law, but he's talking about other kinds of works, works of holiness or works of obedience. But that is a misreading
right.
of Paul. Paul is not saying, well, works of the law are excluded, but works of conscience are not excluded.
Okay, I see.
And so they end up and come up with a way to contradict Paul. And by the way, we see the same thing in the teaching of Jesus in John 6:28 and 29. Because remember, Dale was asking, where else do we see this?
Sure.
Well, how about in the Gospel of John?
All right, John 6:28 and 29. It says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
Notice they speak of works. He talks about work.
Right.
All of this flows out of him feeding the 5,000, them seeking him out, and them wanting more bread. And he says in verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes. He's talking about physical food. But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. The point is, much like the water of life in John 4, which springs up into everlasting life, so the bread of life, once eaten, is going to be that which endures to everlasting life. Where Jesus is going with this is, believe on him and you have everlasting life.
Right.
And of course, John 6:35 says that. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst.
So you know there that the coming is believing, right?
Right.
As he says it. And it's the same in John 1:12. Whoever receives him, that is, whoever believes in his name. So the receiving is a metaphor for believing, and here the coming is a metaphor
right.
for believing.
But as soon as Jesus says this, then they say, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? They're thinking in order to make our way into heaven, in order
right.
to have everlasting life.
Right.
And Jesus' answer is, the only quote-unquote work
so
you can do...
He's being tongue-in-cheek here.
Tongue-in-cheek, ironic,
right.
is to believe in him whom he sent.
Right, let's do that first. Worry about the works after. Believe in me first. That's how you get in.
Right, because that's the only condition.
Right.
If you think that the works are part of it, well, then you're not believing in Christ. So I'm concerned about what Dale's saying because it sounds like he believes that his eternal destiny hinges in part on faith in Christ... and in part on his works of obedience.
Right. Or maybe it's even worse. Maybe Dale kind of believes there's more than one way to be saved. Well, you can be saved that way if that works for you, or you can be saved this other way if that works for you.
Well, in our pluralistic culture where people think this is true for me, but something different can be true for you,
yeah.
it could be what he's saying. But in any case, Romans 3:28 is clear. It's not by works which we do that we are justified.
Right. And if Romans 3:28 isn't clear, Galatians 2:16 is certainly clear.
And look a few verses later, by the way, in Romans chapter 4. I think, you know, Romans 3:28 is immediately followed by Paul talking about Abraham, who was the great father of the Jewish people, the father of Christianity and the father of Islam. And he says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father is found according to the flesh? Romans 4:1. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So what Paul is saying in Romans 4:2 is, yes, there is some sort of justification by works, but that's before men. Before God, there is no justification by works. James talks about the same thing in James 2. Abraham was justified by works before men, but before God, Abraham was justified by faith. That's why Paul goes on in Romans 4 to quote Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him or accounted to him for righteousness. Justification before God is by faith alone. That's the great cry of the Reformation, sola fide. Mm. It amazes me, Sean, that today there are many theologians who are essentially going against sola fide. Even though I'm confident they mean well, they really want people to do good works. But as you mentioned earlier, unless we get the justification, regeneration, salvation issue by faith alone straightened out first, if we try to commingle that with sanctification, first of all, the person doesn't get born again because they think they're somehow working for it. But secondly, it doesn't produce sanctification.
Right.
You have to keep these two distinct.
Yeah, sanctification isn't produced by preaching the law. That's a basic point that Paul makes, because preaching the law just provokes sin. It just reveals your sin. It's like, if you want to know if you have a dirty face, you look in the mirror, but the mirror can't wash your face for you.
That's good.
The mirror has no power to do that, and the law has no power to make you holy. What makes you holy or live for Christ is just, I think, the love and appreciation of the free gift of eternal life. That's a very different motivation.
Gratitude is a huge motivator.
He who's forgiven much loves much.
Right.
Well, that was an interesting question from Dale. If you're interested in learning more about Romans, we have a condensed Romans commentary in our Grace New Testament commentary. It's a 600-plus page commentary in the entire New Testament. Or, if you really are interested in theology, be sure to pick up a copy of Zane Hodge's Romans, Deliverance from Wrath. It's a full commentary on Romans. It will definitely open up the scriptures to you, and it's available at our web store, faithalone.org. Go there, and you can find that and many other resources to help you understand that salvation really is by faith, apart from works.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great clarifying discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not a person has to turn from the worship of other gods in order to be saved. It is fascinating. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.